You're listening to the 12 Days of Christmas. I'm Sarah Golseth. We're taking a break from the music to look a little deeper into the music that we're listening to, some of the hymns that we get to hear and sing during the Christmas season. And joining me in studio this morning, Reverend Robert Zagore, Executive Director of the Office of International Mission, to talk through a few of maybe our favorite hymns for the Christmas season. So thank you for joining me.
I appreciate being here. Thank you, Sarah.
So today we're talking about LSB, Lutheran Service Book 364 and 365, which are both the text of Away in the Manger, and also Lutheran Service Book 366, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. So let's start with Away in a Manger, and let's look at the text first, since that's the same for 364 and 365.
Okay.
What would you like to tell us about this text?
Well, it's sort of a fanciful version. It was... It first showed up in English in an anti-Masonic lodge book.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
And it was called Luther's Cradle Song, and apparently they came up with the idea that Martin Luther had read this or had written this so that mothers could sing it to their children in the cradle. It's not true, but it's a great story. Luther didn't write it. And that's why you have no crib for his bed and those other lines, because it's supposed to make children feel privileged because Jesus had less than them. Jesus had less than them. And they also have some things in the text that aren't really biblical, you know, no crying he makes. That I really don't know for a fact that Jesus cried as a baby, but I suspect he did.
He was human.
He was fully God and fully man, and that means that right down to the dirty swaddling clothes, he was fully man. He had everything that we have, and I'm not sure that it's really a good thing for us to conceive of a Jesus so perfect that he sort of flies through his human nature without really noticing what it means to be fully human, because the real point is that he's there as our substitute. He experiences everything that we do, yet without sin.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, my children, when they were growing up, they made a lot of crying sounds. But it's really fascinating as a parent, even crying as communication, and you can tell the different kinds of cries. And you know, this is the mad cry, this is the scared cry, this is the bored cry. And so I'm sure that Jesus effectively communicated with Mary, and the crying may be a part of it. But it's a beautiful song, and I think even though Luther didn't write it, it's a great song to sing as a lullaby.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize that this is sort of the storybook version of the events, but it's still a beautiful hymn, and it's stood the test of time. It's not a German hymn. The first German version of it came out about 20 years after the English was written, but or at least the English showed up in that magazine. But it's still something that we all love.
Yeah, and I think I like the third verse the best.
Be near me, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, the prayer. I think that's a nice verse to sing, especially with kids.
It is, and it's far better than the "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep." You know, as soon as you get to "If I should die before I wake," you've got too much explanation. This is a beautiful substitute, and it's great to sing prayers.
Mm-hmm. It is.
It really is. And what a wonderful thing to do with children. And, you know, the Psalms are prayers, and they were all sung.
Yeah.
And so it's just a beautiful thing to sing our prayers.
Absolutely. Speaking of singing, we have two different tunes for this. Do you have any history or background about either of these tunes?
Well, the one that we're most used to is the newer one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's called Mueller. And that's the first one. The second one is Cradle Song, and that's the older one, but not by much. The Cradle Song version of this is largely represented in Anglican churches, and the Mueller hymn, the one that we're most used to, kind of grew up out of the American frontier a little bit. It was an entirely different tune. I mean, an entirely different story. The original Mueller hymn was something about a drunken cowboy. There are people who have objected to that over the years, and I can understand why, but nobody remembers the song about a drunken cowboy, and if you can substitute drunken cowboys with Jesus, I'm all for it.
Yeah, that's true. And there's a lot of arguments, whether they're for real or just for play, about which tune is better. I feel like everybody probably has their favorite Away in the Manger tune. I have my favorite.
Let me guess, it's Cradle Song.
It is.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And it is very nice, but when you try using it that way in a parish, everybody shakes their head and says, "Why did he do that? He's always changing everything," even though it's the older version.
Yeah, that's funny. All right. Anything else to tell us about Away in the Manger?
No, it's a great thing to sing. And as you said, it's a tremendous prayer with your children, especially the third stanza.
Absolutely. All right. Moving on to Lutheran Service Book 366, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. This is another familiar Christmas hymn, I would think.
It is. I'm sure that you probably don't even need to open the book.
No.
This is another one that kind of has a weird origin. It was written by a man named Edward Sears, who was a Unitarian.
Hmm.
And Unitarians don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the divinity of Jesus. And in his original version of this, there was no mention of Jesus.
That's fascinating.
It was an anti-war hymn.
Oh, dear.
And it was written to tell people that they should approach peace, and that's really what heaven wants for us. Huh. And so as we have this version in our hymnal, and it's been around for a long time, this particular version, we have verse 4 inserted, which talks about Jesus, because, as I said, in Edward Sears' first version of it, there was no mention of the Lord. But it's now a very good hymn. But again, it's another kind of storybook thing. There are lines in there that we don't know about that aren't based on Scripture. For example, we don't have any idea that it was about midnight that it happened. I think that's when Santa comes, right? So maybe they just got the two confused. But we don't know that the angels had harps or that they were touching them. a very poetic way of saying it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've every time I sing this hymn, I've got a picture of an angel sticking out its finger and poking at a harp. And probably like my kids, "He's touching me." But it's a great song, and it's, again, the storybook version of it. You're not going to get a great articulation of exact biblical truth here, but it's all based on the Luke account of Jesus' birth, and especially now with the substitution of the fourth stanza, which talks about how God's promise is fulfilled through the prophets, and now here is with us in Jesus. It's a great hymn.
Absolutely, yeah. It's interesting to read through some of these words that we may have sung since our childhood, and to get a deeper understanding of what we're actually singing when we're through them in our Christmas services.
And it's a shame that we generally only sing them in Christmas services. It's something that I lament all the time with my family and a lot of my friends, that apart from church, there aren't really any places that we sing anymore, and we're in danger of losing congregational singing because there are a number of churches that don't sing because people don't do it regularly. They don't know how. And it would be a huge loss to us, because think of how easy it is to pass on the faith with hymns.
Yeah.
And how we love these hymns, but because we're not used to singing anymore, most people sing, "It came upon, na 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 na." You know, they lose track of the beauty and the poetry of it and then the story behind it, and lose a little bit of our articulation of the faith that way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully people will now pull out their hymnals and read through these texts. We are going to go back to the music now. Reverend Robert Zagore, my guest in studio, Executive Director of the LCMS Office of National Mission. Thanks for joining me to look a little deeper at these hymns.
I had fun. Thank you, Sarah.
I'm Sarah Golseth. We're back to the music.